You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. You know what that means. That means it's Pro Football Focus Day. Of course, I'm about to cough right away, right here in the middle of this opening, because that's where we're at. So without further ado, I mean, it's Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Trevor Sikkema from PFF. We welcome him back for the first time since the preseason. So very excited to have him back on. Trevor, get a little bit of your insight as to what maybe this Michigan team might be the next 3 weeks. So welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Isaiah. I know you're gutting it out right now. You got a little bit of a cold going on. I know that people just heard the early cough, but yeah, man, I appreciate you obviously doing this, toughing it out and making the podcast still happen. And I appreciate you having me back on the show. This was a lot of fun last time, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. It's all kinds of distractions too, because Zuri's down on the ground, my dog doing who knows what. You can hear her. She's like making little growling noises. I don't know what that's all about, but so all kinds of distractions, my cough, the dog doing whatever she wants. It's all kinds of weird to start out, but let's get right into the actual, what Michigan is in your eyes. Before we look forward, let's look back. Cause obviously we talked to Anthony Treach a bit. We've talked to Austin Gale. We've talked to Seth Galina. What is your take as to what this Michigan team is from like a 30,000 foot view? I know that you guys as a site, Michigan dropped from 3 to 4. Wisconsin actually passed Michigan when it comes to the overall grading, separate from the power rankings and all. But what do you see? Is Michigan really, honestly, potentially that good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I look at this Michigan team, it feels like, and this is from obviously like a total outsider's perspective kind of a thing, you know, people who might follow Michigan like yourself or like people listening to this podcast, they might be able to give me a little bit more of the details. But when I look at Michigan, I feel like this is almost kind of Harbaugh's ideal team. Now, obviously it hasn't had the ideal results. Of course, they would like to be better on all different kinds of the ball. I'm not saying it's a perfect team, but when you look at what this Michigan team is, it's a quarterback that they don't rely everything on him. Obviously losing Bell for the season, that really hurt them early on. I think that could have been something that would have really helped the passing offense out. But, you know, you look at Haskins and you look at Corum and you look at this run game, and it's clearly a lot of this stuff is through their running backs, is through the ground and pound. And really to this point in the season, and shoot, even for a good chunk of the Michigan State game, like what they wanted to do worked, and it had Michigan playing well and rising the ranks and getting the most out of that. And so they're a ground and pound kind of a team right now. They're giving the ball into their best players' hands, and that's their running backs. And you could tell that that's kind of what they're comfortable with, and it was working for them. And then on the flip side, defense has been playing well. I mean, they've got the experience in the deep secondary. They were one of the best run defense teams in the country. They have Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson to really get after the passer on the edges. And so, of course, like, you could say that they'd want a little bit better of things here and there. You know, the record speaks to that, dropping the Michigan State game. But when I look at the identity of this Michigan team, I feel like it is the framework of what Harbaugh really wants to do. And it feels like, man, if they would have just had Bell for a little bit longer in this season, I really wonder what this offense could have been like and what the ceiling for Michigan could have been like, because they're still looking for those X factor guys to really take them over the top. But I do think the foundation for what they were striving for is pretty spot on to what you would think a Jim Harbaugh team would look like.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm curious about the same thing. And it's one of those things where I think they've exceeded everyone's expectations, even mine, even though I said 8-4, probably more closer to 9-3. No one really saw this coming to the degree that it is. And obviously they can still go 9-3. Technically, they still could go 8-4. I don't think that's likely. And a lot of it hinges on what happens this week against Penn State. Penn State has long been thought of as one of the best teams in the Big Ten. Even as they were faltering, they were still, like, in many people's power rankings, were still above Michigan, but not Pro Football Focus. So what, before we continue back onto the Michigan train, what do you see from Penn State? Why have they not necessarily been as highly thought of in your guys' eyes?
Yeah, we're not big on Penn State. And I think the biggest reason is we don't really trust what's going on at quarterback. We don't really trust Sean Clifford. And you know, where you look at Michigan and you could you could say that, okay, there's not like a world beater at quarterback right now for them either. Going back to what I was saying before, they can lean on the run game very heavily and have a lot of success with it. They've got a lot of talent in their running back room. And I think that that's really what makes all the difference in what you can expect from these teams week in and week out. Penn State just doesn't have that. Yeah, they have Jahan Dotson, and he's a fantastic wide receiver, and he's been doing a lot for them in that offense. But Clifford's just not good enough of a quarterback for us to continually bet on week in and week out. And I think that that's why it's been disappointing in Penn State. And, you know, you look at some other players that they have, you flip sides of the defensive side of the ball, Joey Porter Jr., Arnold Ibikade, you know, the Jaquan Brisker at safety. These are really good players. These are three studs that they have on defense. So Penn State can still play defense really, really well. They just don't have the offensive identity, I would tell you, to really be a contender in the Big Ten or really in the grander scheme of college football. And so that's why they're a lot lower for us in the rankings. It's not that they don't have the dudes. It's just that they don't really have the dudes at the right spots. And I think that that's probably the best way to describe Penn State. And it's why, you know, they were playing these very close matchups, whether it was against good teams or bad, I think, throughout the season. It's why you've seen a couple of losses from them now. And honestly, when I look at this Michigan-Penn State matchup, I think that they're sort of similar makeup of teams. Michigan just has the talented players at the better spots. They've got both of the edge rushers that can collapse the pocket. They've got that experience in the secondary. And then they have that run game that they can consistently lean on if the quarterback can't pick them up. And we've kind of seen that to be the case with both teams, but Michigan has a way to make up for it a lot better than Penn State does. So with this game being a road game for Michigan, I think that, of course, like anything's kind of possible here when you play Penn State at Penn State. And so I think that that'll continue to make it a little bit closer of a game. It's going to be something that you can keep an eye on, but on paper, I really do feel like this should be a W for Michigan. They've got the blueprint, and I've got the makeup to come away with what would be still a nice win. Even though Penn State isn't that top 10 ranked team that they were earlier in the season, this would still be a really nice win for Michigan to keep their season going with, of course, all eyes on that Ohio State game at the end of the year.
Now, of course, Penn State also, they did something Michigan did, and they beat Wisconsin. One thing that they didn't do was beat Wisconsin handily. And Wisconsin, like I mentioned before, I mean, they've risen in your rankings. They went above Michigan in the overall grade. How much of a quality win is that now, especially in hindsight, for Michigan, that it was able to not just beat Wisconsin, but beat Wisconsin convincingly?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to be honest, Michigan's higher on our rankings than I think that they should kind of be. And there's reasons that go into that, right? It's a team that I think can really play people close. And they give you that formula to, I think, be a strong football team week in, week out. It's just been an execution thing with Wisconsin. You know, we look at a lot of the things that they do on paper. We like Graham Mertz going into the season. We like some of his supporting cast. And I think we like a lot of the players that are on Wisconsin's team. They just have not been able to execute this year. And it's been way worse than I thought it would be, right? I mean, there's a reason why at the beginning of the season, that Wisconsin-Penn State game was huge, right? I mean, like that was one of the biggest games that we were playing early on. And so it's because a lot of people thought very highly of Wisconsin. And on paper, I think that you can get away with that, but clearly they're just not executing the way that they need to. And there's no doubt about it that Wisconsin win can really help Michigan's eye test, if you will, when it comes to the college football playoff rankings, the more they win here down the stretch. And you're hoping that they're turning things around a little bit. Maybe it's a late season surge for Wisconsin to look pretty good. And, you know, right now, I think they're a little too high on our rankings when it comes to some of the other teams. I'd put Michigan ahead of Wisconsin, of course, because they ended up coming away with the win. And I think that's pretty easy to see. But there's a reason why you believe in them. And if they, like I said, if they execute down the stretch, maybe they're a nice little resume booster there for Michigan because they got that W earlier in the season.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Wisconsin ends up winning the West, particularly.
Right.
A lot of it's going to depend on what Michigan does. And that's going to be, obviously, you've got a couple of these big games coming up. We've talked about Penn State. We have no point in talking about Maryland. But before we move on, if I can talk this long, we'll see if that'll work. But I got to tell everybody a little bit something about Prize Picks. College football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you could think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. So make your deposit using the promo code Locked On. You'll receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players and over under on the projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes in the same entry. That seems prescient. We've been saying that since before the NFL season started, and under on Mahomes sounds like a pretty good prop to take. Anyway, use the award-winning app on both the Apple App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawal. So don't hesitate. Choose PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code Locked On, or go to your app store and choose the or download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, back with segment 2 with Trevor Sikkema. So here's the thing that I kind of want to know. One of the things that's been really interesting to me is Ohio State. And because they looked not very good to begin the season, then they looked like world beaters in the middle of the season. And again, they don't look very good again. They are ranked number 2 overall in the overall grading by PFF. I understand. I feel like they deserve that. But, and it's not like there's any other teams out there that are just killing it in college football other than Georgia, who's number 1. But with that in mind, what did you see out of Ohio State? Is there really a chance that Michigan could contend with them? Because, I mean, it seems like their offense going up against defense with the pulse, not as high flying. Defense is a bit better than it was at the start of the season, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's completely fixed. I don't know. What do you see from Ohio State?
This is the game where I wish the most that they had Ronnie Bell, the wide receiver, because I really do think that even with some up and down quarterback play, or at least, how do I say this? Not as dynamic quarterback play week in and week out, that kind of gives you a formula to keep up with Ohio State. And that's the difficult part, right? And that's when you look at projecting, hey, who can beat Ohio State? Who can hang with them? Do they deserve to be in the college football playoff? You look at offense, because we're in an age of offense. And it's very funny that the team that's unanimously number 1 in the country is known for their defense, because that's not been the script over the last 2 or 3 years. And so your eyes often go to offense first. Can you score enough points? And there's no doubt about it with the receivers that Ohio State has, with Travion Henderson coming out of nowhere, this freshman running back to just set college football on fire. And with what is one of the best offensive lines in the country at Ohio State, blocking for a young, still inexperienced C.J. Stroud, they still give you the opportunity to score a lot of points week in and week out. And so Michigan, I think, is a really solid football team. You know, we mentioned it in the previous segment. I think they're strong in a lot of the really important areas. I just don't know if they can keep up with Ohio State on the scoreboard. I don't think it's an embarrassment of talent. I don't think there's this giant talent gap between them. And clearly Michigan is playing very well. But, you know, you look at how I think there's just a more natural proficiency for C.J. Stroud to throw the ball all over the yard to those receiving weapons that he has there than it is for Michigan State for Michigan to be their script. The thing that would get me encouraged is you look at the game that Ohio State lost earlier in the year. It was Oregon. Right? How'd they lose to Oregon? Well, C.J. Verdell ran absolutely all over them for 60 minutes, and that's how they lose that football game. Michigan presents you that script with Haskins and with Corum. Like, those guys are there. If they can have that kind of success to continue to keep things close, even if Ohio State is scoring through the air consistently, which is what we all love to point to, Michigan has the ability to score on the ground. Corum's one of my favorite running backs in all of college football, draft eligible or not. Haskins has the experience to him. And so that 1-2 punch, man, that gives you the chance to really keep up with Ohio State's offense, given that it is their weakness, or at least has been before so far this season. If you can exploit that with them, I think you can keep it close. And like I said, I think everybody would be taking Ohio State if you had to lay money on the game, but it ain't like there's this giant talent gap like it has been in years past. I think it's a little bit closer than people are giving it credit for. I wouldn't count on Michigan just yet when it comes to that Ohio State game.
Now, you mentioned C.J. Stroud being like this young quarterback who's just kind of starting to get experience. For some reason, it doesn't seem like, from a national perspective, when people are, or even especially local, people talk about Cade McNamara, they talk about him and like, oh, he's had his chances. He's been around forever. And it's like,
right. Well,
you know, he hasn't exactly been around that long. He's been in college football for 1 year longer, technically, and he's played a handful more games because he came in against Rutgers last year and started the game against Penn State before being injured. What do you see from Cade? Because, like, yeah, that's one of those things where, I mean, I know a lot of people are still clamoring for J.J. McCarthy, but
right.
Still Cade McNamara's job. What do you see from him? Do you think that what we saw maybe against Michigan State is more of what he's capable of? Was that just Michigan State's bad pass defense? Is he still coming along? What is your overall perspective on him?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his grades last year versus this year, I mean, he is progressing nicely. Like, he is progressing the way that you would want. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama or what team you're rooting for. It just seems like we're in a, I'll call it a bad habit of just always wanting that next guy. Like, just put the freshman in. Like, let's put this exciting freshman in. And, you know, for example, I'm a University of Florida guy. I graduated from UF, and, you know, they had a little bit of a quarterback controversy earlier this season with Anthony Richardson and with Emory Jones. And a lot of people, myself included, were clamoring for Anthony Richardson to get that job. And when Dan Mullen kind of gave it to him, actually gave him the reins a little bit this season, you saw what? Sure, you saw the talent, the raw talent, the 4 or 5 star ability, but you also saw that inexperience. You saw that inexperience come out. And sometimes you're in a position where, okay, this is not a learning part of the season. We want a guy in there who we know can operate for us. And I think that that's what Michigan is all about, at least still this season. I know there's a lot of people who are clamoring for the backup, but I think that it's Cade's job. And he played well against Michigan State, and he's playing well this year. Does he give him that Heisman college football playoff ceiling? No, I don't think yet. But like you mentioned, he really has not been playing that long. This is his first year with full control being the guy. And, you know, I just think that fans do get a little bit impatient here, and maybe McCarthy is, right? Like, maybe it will be his job and he will be the guy to really take them to new heights eventually. But I'd push back a little bit on it with it being this year. I still think that McNamara probably gives them their best shot because of the progression that we've seen him take from last year to this year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've been. I mean, I'm oscillating a little bit just because it's like, you know, maybe it's because I talked to Joel Klatt and he says, you know, yeah, they needed Cade to this point, but for Ohio State, they're going to need JJ. We'll see how that ends up working out. But obviously, right, they're trying to get them both in. So.
And that is a decent point, because that's what a lot of people were talking about when it came to Anthony Richardson over Emory Jones with UF, right? You look at, you're playing Alabama, you look at, you're playing Georgia. And that's something that I said, like, Emory can get you there, but if you actually want to win the game, you probably have to put the other guy in. Maybe that is the case. And I think that that is logical. You might say that McCarthy has the higher ceiling if you hit it right, but people always brush over that if word when it comes to it. And Anthony Richardson, he played versus Georgia, and a lot of those mistakes came out. And I think that for as much as it might be true that the ceiling for the offense might be better with McCarthy, and maybe you want to go out in an all-in approach, like we're giving ourselves a chance to hit that ceiling, the higher odds are that he's probably not ready for it. If he hasn't started to this point, he's probably not ready for it. So I don't know. That's kind of my outside eyes view of that quarterback conversation there in Michigan.
Well, I'm glad, because you vindicated a lot of what I've said. So that there's a difference between coming in and looking good for a handful of plays and being ready to
right.
be the main guy. Right. And it will be his turn when it's his turn. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. The last thing is not football related at all. I just have to say, we both have Star Wars paraphernalia on display in our background. I see the Grogu.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I don't know if you can see, for those who are watching on video, if you're listening, you're out of luck. We got 2 lightsabers here. I got my handmade one that I did at Galaxy's Edge, and I have the Emperor Palpatine one back here. And you can see all these Star Wars books behind you. So, and just needed to point out, we have that going for us right now.
We, so this office here, my girlfriend actually redid this office for me. When I was away on a trip, it was last Christmas, I came back home, and she had totally redone this office. And so you can see, yeah, you should put up the Baby Yoda thing. We've got Marvel comics up there. We're both very big into Marvel as well. And so, like, she redid this entire office as you see it right here. And so that's all a big shout out to her. That was all her ideas and her implementation. So She made it look great. So it's funny that you point that out, because I do. I love this office.
No, it is awesome. And I'm also a big Marvel fan as well. I always see the first, whenever something comes out, like I saw Eternals at noon on Friday, you know,
nice.
You know, Shang-Chi, I think I saw it at noon on Friday too. You know, if I can't see it on Thursday night because of some kind of conflict work-wise, then I'll go see it on Friday, but otherwise it's Thursday night. So
I have not seen Eternals yet. So don't spoilers anything for me, but I haven't seen it yet. I got to see it at some point soon, but yeah, I'm waiting to see that one, because I am excited for it.
Well, thank you, Trevor. I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. It's been far too long. Hopefully we have you on again before the season is kaput.
Of course. Thanks, Isaiah. Appreciate it. Anytime, man.
Absolutely.
It's Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. Thanks again to him for joining. Good stuff from him. So, very excited. As I'm sure that you can hear, I am not full strength right now. So we are not going to keep this going for very long. I do want to touch on some things that I didn't hit because of Monday, so I'm not going to do my normal wrap-up of what he had to say. We'll touch on just a handful of things as long as I can kind of keep upright here. But before we do, listen, we are back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.ag remains your number one spot for basketball and football action this season. Head over to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive said bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, which that's over, so let's just, well, whatever. NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, let's finish this out here. I just want to touch on like the big thing coming out of yesterday's press conference. I'm sorry again, I didn't get to it. As you can tell, I've been under the weather. Still powering through a bit here, but obviously the big thing that came out of yesterday's Monday press conference was Jim Harbaugh being asked, I want to make sure that that's known, he was asked that about the Michigan State, if he had heard back from the Big Ten, because the week beforehand he was asked, you know, did you find any of those official reviews so questionable that you submitted them to the Big Ten for review? And he had said yes. So there's a couple things coming out of this. Number one is this deal where people act like he proffered this information, right? Like he stepped up to the podium and said, oh, hey, I want to complain about something. Wasn't the case. That's not how that works. And so then there's also the other aspect of it of, like, I someone replied to me with the tweet saying, you know, this is why the media is garbage. Listen, no, this is a worthwhile thing. This is why we have press conferences, right? You know, there's not like a limited amount of, you know, I mean, there's a limited amount of time, but, you know, people can ask what they can ask. That was one of the last questions of the day. It was like three quarters of the way through his press conference. It's a worthy question, right? To follow up, because you're not going to ask him after the game. I'm sharing that with you because, like, there's a rhyme and a reason to why things happen when they happen. You know, you're not going to ask him after Indiana, hey, did you hear back on that Michigan State thing? Because you're there to talk about what happened in the game, you know? And then at a Monday press conference, everything's kind of on the table. Then there's the third thing, which is Mel Tucker saying, you know, we don't talk about bad calls because makes your program soft. Now, I don't know whether or not that was directed at Jim Harbaugh or not, but I mean, clearly it is still like you know, you're mentioning it still, right? So you are talking about bad calls. You felt like there were bad calls coming out of Purdue. You also said that you were submitting, doing the same thing, submitting to the Big Ten. So all of it just becomes like this ridiculous sideshow, this circus. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh says, all right, you know, they admitted a mistake. All right, it's not that big of a deal, right? The Big Ten says, hey, we made some mistakes, because it doesn't change the result. all it does is vindicate the fans and the team for feeling like, all right, maybe you got screwed out of something. But Michigan still, like, should have won the game, you know? Like, they gave away, you know, those calls or non-calls. They impacted the game, but Michigan also impacted the game by not doing more to win. You know what I mean? I think that in a lot of ways, save for the non-called touchdown against against Nebraska, you know, where they were in a legal formation, that was a non-call. But for the most part, Nebraska probably had a similar gripe, right? But Nebraska didn't take advantage. So that's my take on it. None of these Spartan conspiracies. Got called a locked on homer, which was funny to me because I think anyone who actually like watches or listens to me knows that I'm being as fair as possible. You know what I mean? I give Michigan State all the credit for actually winning that game. As much as, you know, you might not want to hear it, you know, because yeah, Michigan, hey, score touchdowns instead of field goals. A lot of stuff changes, you know? Yeah, that's my take. I don't know if I have much more than that. It is what it is, and you live with it, and you hope that things kind of get better as the season goes on, because you've got three more games. You beat Penn State. You should be going into Ohio State 10-1. You have an opportunity. Whether they capitalize on that opportunity is yet to be seen, but that's all you can ask for, is to have that opportunity. Michigan series certainly has been preparing more for Ohio State this year than they have in some years past. So that's the good news. All right. That's going to do it for me today. I'm going to go take a rest for a bit. That's where we're at. But anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you soon. Peace.